Hey, Craig.
Fucking hate that. That's horrible. All right.
Are we going to start every podcast with you hating on Craig?
He's so creepy.
But he's a bear.
He's a scary bear. He's okay, a scare bear.
Do I go then? Should I just do the thing? Or?
Yeah, we're recording, so let's go.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another webisode of Regeneration Radio. I'm here with my co-hosts, Shell and Mike.
No way.
Hey!
Hello, you said that with such...
such vigor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did an intro. All right.
I love that.
What are we doing today?
We're doing a lot today. I just realized something we didn't discuss before. Maybe we should do like... a spoiler warning before this episode.
Are we going to be spoiling stuff this episode?
We're going to discuss companions, and that might spoil things.
If people are watching the podcast, they're probably going to get stuff spoiled every time.
Yeah, but still.
Well, that constitutes as a warning, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, to our listeners, spoiler warning for up to the 12th Doctor, because Chell hasn't watched the 13th Doctor yet, or the 14th, or the 15th, so, like, I guess we're going to stick to 12th Doctor and below.
We can talk about any Doctor we want. I don't mind spoilers, but our followers might.
Yeah, so spoiler warning, because today we're discussing companions. Callum, take it away.
Okay, so today we're discussing companions. Mike, take it away.
For well, any
listener. I suppose the point is, what is the point of a companion, isn't it? That's what we were going to be figuring out today. Like, why do we have them? Should we get rid of them?
No, we should.
I don't think we should get rid of them.
That wasn't on the agenda today. All they do is get lost and die. Life would be easy without them, no?
No, there isn't that many companions that actually died.
Okay, but
in a sense, kind of.
Along the way, like every episode, something happens to like one of them. And then like the Doctor has to save them. Whereas instead, if there was no companion, they could just focus on saving themselves.
Yeah, but we also seen what happens when the Doctor doesn't have a companion. Do you remember the Water of Mars?
Yeah, he goes crazy. It's badass.
Yeah, but it's not a good Doctor.
No.
Shout out to the Good Doctor on Netflix. Not sponsored, by the way. I don't think even the Good Doctor is on Netflix. Never mind. No, but like, companions is a vital part of this show. Yeah. We can all agree on that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And Callum, you said something interesting. Like, I find it interesting when everyone says it. Like, oh, they just get lost and the Doctor needs to save them. Because that's not how I view the companions.
How do you view the companions?
I should point out, I don't actually view the companions like that.
Oh, okay.
I just want to point that out. I'm not actually seeing it. Being like, let's just get rid of them.
Okay. Now he's backtracking here. We can all hear it. No, but for me, like... If we look at the newer Doctor Who, like from the 9th Doctor to forward, the Doctor wouldn't be the Doctor without the companions, because the companions are the ones that actually drives the plot. If we look at, if we just look at Christopher Eccleston's Doctor and we look at Rose, 90% of the series happens because Rose actually is the one going out doing quote-unquote stupid stuff, exploring, and she finds this threat that the Doctor needs to solve with the help of the companion. And I do get the argument that some people are making, and when I say some, I'm talking about people on like Reddit and TikTok and every kind of social media that there has been for the last 100 years, that it feels like it's a little bit damsel in distress. But I don't view it like that, because it's usually a team up between the companion and the Doctor that saves the day, not just the Doctor that saves the day.
Yeah. So like they're a narrative device. Like, they're the ones driving forward the plot by instigating the adventure mysteries and facing the challenges also.
Yeah.
And there also are like eyes into the show, because I think it can get a bit crazy sometimes. So it's kind of nice just to have this regular human who's kind of like we can, I guess, relate to. That when, like, you know, they're on an alien planet surrounded by aliens and everything's really confusing and lost, then we have this kind of anchor in the show that we empathize with more than we can with the Doctor.
I agree, Callum. The emotional anchor. Yeah. They are us in that situation.
Thinking what the hell is going on.
Right?
Yeah, like, I totally agree with that, because I can't speak today. What I was thinking when we started discussing this was, like, if we look at for instance, Amy Pond. I think Amy Pond is a great example of a narrative device that works as, you know, the eyes and the feelings of a regular human. Because Amy Pond, her first episode, The Beast Below, is not actually her first episode, but the first episode where she's an actual companion in the TARDIS. For those who haven't seen it, they go to a spaceship that is the UK, I guess? Or is it just Great Britain?
I think it might just be... I think it is Starship UK. But Scotland's already gotten independence at this point.
Yeah. You're totally right. But Starship UK, and Amy Pond goes and, you know, just is a human amongst humans and finds, you know, the solution to the problem. Like, the Starship is having a problem. The Doctor is ordered by Queen Liz to, you know, help him to find the root of the issue. And it's actually Amy Pond, because she's human, that actually figures it out. Like, okay, this is the issue. If we do this, it will save the day. And it also saves the Doctor from being this person or Time Lord he doesn't want to be. Like, okay, this is a spoiler. The Starship is a space whale, and the Doctor's solution to save humanity on this spaceship is to kind of lobotomize the space whale. But Amy Pond figures out that since the space whale is not killing the children, the space whale is only in pain, so she helps the Doctor to release the space whale, and the space whale still helps the Starship.
Yeah.
But without Amy Pond as the companion there, this wouldn't have been the solution. The Doctor would have lobotomized the space whale instead, basically killing the last of its kind. And it goes into this thing, you know, where without the human side that... that works in tandem with the Doctor would be a totally different kind of character.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's the question is, though, is that how much should they drive the narrative forward? Because you've got some, which, like Amy's role, which is helping the Doctor and, you know, kind of his equal. And then sometimes you've got the ones that take it to the next level. And I'm thinking, like, specifically now of Clara, who has the entire kind of plot centered around her. And instead of her helping the Doctor, it very much becomes almost, her helping the Doctor, but on a very much next level, like with the whole special girl situation that she has going with her.
Yeah, I agree with you to some extent there, because, like, Clara is my favorite companion, and mostly because, you know, she was the companion to Capaldi as well, and Capaldi is my favorite Doctor. Yeah. If you haven't listened to the last episode, you should definitely check that out. But I felt like Clara during the Matt Smith era, is exactly what you described. It was a little bit too much. Like, the whole plot was centered around, you know, the Impossible Girl.
Who the is impossible the Impossible Girl? That was the not special girl.
It yeah. The Impossible Girl.
Yeah.
And the fact that she was baked into, you know, have helped every single doctor.
Yeah.
In some way, like, the doctor always... I remember there was a clip that actually made me a little bit mad, where the Clara is on Gallifrey and tells the first doctor that, oh, you should take this TARDIS instead, you will have much more fun with it. And, like, that was a step too far for me. So, right then and there, I didn't like Clara. It wasn't until Capaldi's regeneration where I felt Clara actually grew.
She was a lot better during Capaldi's era than she was, yeah.
Because then she became this, you know, supportive companion. You know, I need to help to guide the doctor to become this good person. Or, in human eyes, good person.
Yeah.
Just like Capaldi also had some choices he had to make that if Clara wasn't there, they would have gone totally different. I'm sorry, I'm losing my English today, but...
I get it. Yeah, because, I mean, without Clara... I mean, we kind of saw what happened to the Doctor when... Spoilers. When Clara got hit by the Raven. And the Doctor... kind of lost it. And, you know, when you think of those Capaldi's first season, especially where he is very dark and very much needs Clara to kind of keep him leveled, imagine what would have happened if Clara wasn't there and he'd just been allowed to kind of continue on this dark path.
That would be a much more darker
Doctor.
Era.
Yeah.
Darker Doctor!
Darker Doctor. But who's your favorite companion, Shell?
Oh, it was so hard to pick just one. I have two.
You're only allowed to have one.
I know. So, I'm gonna go with drumroll. Captain Jack Harkness.
Oh.
Okay, I want to hear the explanation, yeah.
I love me a charismatic person because I feel like I have charisma, but at the same time, like, in real life, I probably don't.
you're great.
But I love, like, his charismatic personality. He's so charming and witty, and he brings a sense of fun, adventure, and swag.
Yeah.
And he was just like so captivating and entertaining. He was also kind of like morally ambiguous. You know, like he wasn't just like, you know, super goody good good or super naughty. He was like kind of like whatever.
Yeah.
Kind of like a bard in Dungeons and Dragons. and he wasn't afraid to make tough decisions or bending the rules to achieve his goals, which created tension and conflict in his storyline.
Yeah.
And I do believe he also brought like diversity and representation, as he was the first non-heterosexual character in Doctor Who?
Yeah, I think that there were some in the classic era which were kind of hinted, but he was definitely the first one that was out.
Like, hey, I'm out and I'm proud, you know, kind of thing.
Which was, it was great, to have that, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought that was, like, super groundbreaking and empowering for me as a viewer, so. And he also had, like, the spinoff. Too, like Torchwood.
Torchwood. Did you watch?
So, I started to, and then I didn't have cable anymore, so I had to, like, I know. I started watching it, and I think I got, like, two series in, and And then I didn't have cable, so I had like no way to watch it. So literally, like these last like 2 years that like I've had like, you know, every single streaming service, I've been able to like, you know, catch up when I'm not like working or, well, I was like super busy with school, like. But anyway, back to that. I don't want to talk about school. School's dumb.
No, stay in school, kids.
I guess we're not watching the Class spin-off.
but yeah, so like, and I just think he's a pretty dynamic dude.
Yeah, like, I have my thoughts about Captain Jack, but like, the thing I like with Jack Harkness is his, he grows during, you know, his time in the TARDIS, also during Torchwood, and when we see him again in...
Spoilers!
Stolen Earth, I think it is, he comes back to, right? What's the name of that episode? Where they steal the Earth?
Oh, Journey's End.
No, but that's the last one. But he returns in the one prior.
It's the one after Turn Left.
Yeah. Isn't it just called The Stolen? Wait. While we keep discussing, I'm just gonna...
I'm already Googling it.
We're already Googling it.
It's The Stolen Earth. You're exactly right. That's a bit on the nose.
Yeah, like... Not gonna lie, this season is my favorite season, mostly because I also love Donna Noble. But
yeah,
she was my other favorite.
She's actually on. I was gonna speak about her a little bit actually.
Okay, then
okay, so we all love Donna. We all love Donna. Everyone loves Donna.
But
it's interesting with her because she was actually. I might be wrong about this. I think she was really disliked when, well, during her era, because everyone found her again, this is just from like people I've spoken to here that have watched it, everyone found her really annoying.
It's because she was abrasive and a strong, independent woman.
I loved her. Brilliant.
That's what I loved about her.
From what I know from my fellow Whovians, when Donna Nobles was introduced, she was not liked here due to she was considered to be. Is whiny a word?
That is a word.
But she's just so iconic. And Catherine Tate's comedic timing in general, again, she was an actress who I grew up with in a way, because I didn't just watch her in that, I also watched her in the Catherine Tate show. And again, just one of my favorite people growing up with to watch because she was just so funny. Her comedy was just always like, she always delivered the line in the perfect way. The timing was amazing. It was so funny.
She's great.
Yeah, like, I love Catherine Tate, and like, Donna Noble as a companion is easily my top three. Like, Sarah Jane Smith is my second one. But we can talk about her later. But, like, I can understand people who felt she was a little bit annoying in The Runaway Bride. Is it called that now? So
yeah, The Runaway Bride.
Yeah.
Because for the first part of that episode, I felt like, who is this person? Like, I knew who Catherine Tate was, but, like, this companion, it was, like, opposite to every other companion I seen so far. But the thing that won me over during that episode was when the doctor pulls out the, you know, the remote from his pocket.
The sonic screwdriver, yeah, and starts leaping.
No, not the sonic screwdriver, the remote.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like an old GameCube. Yeah. And her instant reaction is not like, oh, what are you doing? It's like, where were you keeping that? And David Tennant answers like, you know, my pockets are bigger on the inside. That won me over because that was just so hilarious.
That was a great interaction.
But I felt in the beginning of the episode, she came on a little bit too strong, you know. Martha's jacket is still in the TARDIS.
Roses.
Is it roses?
Martha came after The Runaway Bride.
Oh, sorry, I'm confusing myself now. Yeah. Rose's shirt is still in the TARDIS, and she picks up this shirt, like this iconic shirt from Rose, and basically calls Rose a word I don't know if we can say in a podcast. She implies that, you know, he abducts women.
Yeah.
And then it was like, okay, I do understand you were born with a foot in your mouth, but that was a little bit too strong. Just putting it like that, you know.
Yeah, she was a mind speaker.
But then when she came back in, I can't remember the name of the episode now. I was so embarrassed.
Partners in Crime.
Yeah, Partners in Crime. When she came back, I was so happy to see her. It was like, oh my god, Donna is back.
I mean, she was definitely one of my favorites, but I wouldn't say... It's hard, to be honest. Because as much as I loved her, and this is where it became really hard for me to choose one, I'd have to go with Sarah Jane, but it's almost for the wrong reasons.
It depends on what are the reasons.
Because for me, it's not about her being the companion. It was the Sarah Jane adventures, which I don't know if any of you watched that.
Oh, I have the episodes.
Okay, that was one of the things I grew up with when I was watching Doctor Who. Is you know, it was on, and it was like it was every Saturday morning or Sunday morning or something on CBBC, and it would show. And I'd never seen Sarah Jane as a companion before I watched that show, and I knew it was part of the Doctor Who world. I knew that she was a companion, but I, she's like one of my favorite companions, but not because she was a companion, just because she was great in that show. So I have to go with her, but it's not because she was a companion. It was because she ran that show so well and was such a big part of my childhood like that.
Yeah, like I can see, like I watched the Sarah Jane Adventures like later on, because I wasn't aware that it was a spin-off series until Journey's End.
Yeah.
Because suddenly, you know, she had a kid and the computer called Mr. Smith.
Mr. Smith and K-9.
Yeah, and K-9. Like, I needed context. Where did they came from, you know? So I watched it afterwards, but like, you know, I watched a lot of Tom Baker, and of course she was a big part of his journey. She was also with John Pertwee. I can't say his last name though.
John Pertwee.
Yeah, thank you. So for me, like, you know, Sarah Jane was the companion, because she was, I think she's the longest running companion, right?
I think she's one of the longest running companions. I don't know if she might be the longest running, yeah.
Yeah, but like, you know, back in the old episode, she was like this strong female character.
Yeah.
Basically, she created this bond with the Doctor. I know several times that he refers to her as his best friend.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know, when I thought about companions, it was, of course, Rose was a companion in my mind, but
yeah,
also Sarah Jane Smith was like the companion. And then when she came back in School Reunion, School Reunion, in 2006, I think that was?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I was like, oh my god, that's Sarah Jane. And if I would have been able to cry where I was when I saw that episode, I would have cried, but I couldn't because, you know, I had to be a little bit macho. but it was like, oh my god, Sarah Jane is back. And then they brought back K-9 as well. And I'm like, okay, this is a good episode. Then the CGI was horrific. That's another discussion for a
further. Yeah, it was a new show. They were finding their feet. But... I mean, Sarah Jane is just like, I mean, was just one of the companions. Like, I think she holds a special place in everyone's heart because she was a part of almost everyone's childhood, like either through Tom Baker or through the Sarah Jane Adventures. And that show was just like, it was such an important part of that Hooniverse, I guess they're calling it now.
The Hooniverse.
The Hooniverse. I think that is what it's called now, isn't it? They branded it the Hooniverse. But
feels definitely. like the generational companion.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely, I think so too.
And then, I mean, I don't know. I didn't want to get too much into the spin-off. So did you watch Sarah Jane Shell? Or?
I did not have the Sarah Jane Adventures. I had to watch them separately on the super secret internet. Not doing nothing.
Being out completely of... legal.
Yes. I was being completely legal. Legal about legal.
Here's a quick question, though. How many companions should the Doctor have at once? Or does it not matter?
I think two is, like, to me, a max. Like, a trio is totally acceptable. Because if you put more people in it, it just... I don't know. I feel like conversations get convoluted. And it's just a lot.
I think, yeah. I think...
I was just gonna say, but like, you know, one main and then like a third person just kind of like comes in a couple episodes, bumps off for a bit, and then comes back maybe. So that way it's not like a constant dialogue.
Yeah,
I agree. Like two should be the limit, because like there are episodes where more than two have worked. Like we have talked about Journey's End many times during our two episodes of the podcast. But when you introduce more than two, like there is a dialogue, and you know the threads of the episode becomes too many.
Yeah,
I can feel like the girl in the fireplace.
Yeah.
There they are, kind of three, you know, because it's Madame de Pompadour, it's Mickey, and it's Rose, plus the Doctor.
Yeah.
Like, they made it work, but I still feel like it could have been better if they removed, for instance, Mickey. Or if this wasn't a Rose episode. Like, say that Rose needs to stay at home, so Mickey was the one who came to the spaceship. Because then we would have gotten a different relation between the Doctor and Mickey as well. But it becomes a little bit too much. It's the same thing with Let's Kill Hitler. suddenly we have, you know...
You want to do what, Mike?
No, Hitler is already dead. The episode is killed. Let's Kill Hitler.
Yeah, no, I know. I thought I forget.
Like, you know... Me and episode names, it's like I get, you know, nervous that I'm going to say the wrong. But then you have, like, you know, you have Emmy Pond, you have Rory, and then you have River Song.
But or I Melanie. Think I think it's different because when, first of all, when River Song shows up, it's usually just like a one-off. Same with Madame de Pompadour. But when I think you can still have two companions and then like a guest character on that episode. I think the problem, and I think especially with Amy, River, and Rory, because they're all so got such a connection, obviously mother and daughter and all that, it kind of works when you put them all together. I think it's when you take, I mean, the 13th Doctor is just one that I can think of. You've got obviously three companions there, and I can't remember two of their names because they never got enough time and they never got enough character development. It's much harder to develop these characters when there's three companions. And I think the reason it worked with Amy and Rory is because the first season, Amy was pretty much like, she got her character development while being a solo companion. And then into that first season with her. Rory got to come in and he got a lot of development. And then River kind of got developed before she became a bit more of a regular. But those three were kind of all put in there at once. And I can't remember two of their names. I can remember Yaz. I don't remember the other two.
You're talking about Ryan and Graham.
I'm guessing. Yeah. But because they never got really any development by themselves, it kind of... They became like almost invisible in the episode because they... But Yaz was like, she really developed. And it's almost like they focused on developing her and not the other two. Again, this is just my experience with it, but I remember Yaz having some really iconic moments and the other two not getting any.
Yeah, the thing I remember with Ryan, now we're into things that Shell hasn't seen yet, but stay with us. Ryan's, you know, riding a bicycle thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the bicycle, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I remember about Ryan. That's all I remember about Ryan.
Oh, yeah, and Graham had those laser shoes.
Yeah. But, like, it's funny that you brought this up, basically, because I had this conversation with another Whovian a couple of weeks ago, where she couldn't remember if Dan, John Bishop's character, was in an episode with Ryan, Graham, and Jazz. And when I started to think about it, I couldn't remember either. And then it becomes, you know, then it's too many. Like, my go-to episode when it's too many companions at once or too many characters at once is the dinosaurs on a spaceship.
Yeah.
Like, if I were to ask you guys, what's the name of the people in that episode? Can you name them all?
Man, I don't think I could name one. There was the Egyptian queen.
Yeah, which Egyptian queen was that?
I can't remember. But they were only guest characters, though.
Yeah, but it kind of, like, they are considered to be companions. That's the thing. If you look at, for instance, Wikipedia, both the queen and the hunter is considered to be companions.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, you have Amy and Rory, you have Rory's dad, you have Queen, and I still want to know, Callum, do you know which Queen it is? Or Shell,
No, I can't remember. Shell?
I can't remember either right now. I'm sorry.
It's Nefertiti.
Oh, yeah.
So, usually, everyone knows, yeah, there was an Egyptian queen. They know that there was one Egyptian queen. What was the name of the hunter?
I feel like I'm failing a test right now.
Yeah, but, like, everyone knows that there was a hunter in that episode. And everyone remembers that the hunter and Queen Nef actually, you know, kind of hit it off. But usually when I ask fellow Whovians, what was the name of that hunter? They don't know his name. And that's kind of me proving my point of view. And I know I sound like a Sontaran here, but I didn't want to say the other word. But when we have too many threads, we have too many people traveling with the Doctor, things like this actually gets, you know, forgotten.
Yeah.
His name is John. John Riddle.
It's not even that much of a hard name to remember either.
No.
I was going to say, that's not a hard name.
But that is his name. John, I think it's either it's called, pronounced Riddell or Riddle. R-I-D-D-E-L-L. Riddell, maybe. But, like, the only reason why I know that is because I looked it up when I started thinking about this episode. I can't remember when it was, but we were discussing... It was actually you and me, Callum, who were discussing Dinosaurs on a Spaceship while we were gaming. And I was like, what was the name? And I had to look it up. And that's like, if you have too many people in the TARDIS or in the episode at one time, things like this will be forgotten. But he's considered to be a companion. So I'm going to ask the listener as well, do you consider John Riddell to be a companion? Yes or no? Let us know on our Facebook page, Regeneration Radio, or when we have the other socials up. Ah, you see what I did there? Where were we going with this?
I think it was just about how many companions there should be. Like, I agree with Shell. I think if you have two in there that have a special relationship, I think that's enough. I think if you start putting more people in there, it's just going to become complicated.
Yeah, I agree with Shell as well. With the exception, if they do, like you said, Callum, you know, they introduce one first, like Amy, then Rory,
yeah,
and then Rory's dad, for instance. I loved Brian Williams.
Yeah.
But he was just, you know, a side character. He is considered to be a companion, though, for everyone who watches Wikipedia, for instance. But, you know, when he entered the TARDIS, we already knew Amy, we already knew Rory, we didn't need their backstory. And therefore, he kind of became the fourth companion, but we already kind of knew him due to being Rory's dad, you know? But then you have the other gang, which I feel like I want more backstory on, but I know I'm never going to get it, and that's Madame Vestra, Jenny, and Strax.
Well, you can get more backstory there in Big Finish.
That's the audiobooks, right?
Yeah, and they're great.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to get hold of them.
Yeah, you have to buy them.
Yeah, but
with money.
Like, I don't buy audiobooks. I have, like, this subscription to audiobooks, and they have some Doctor Who books in that subscription service. But if I want all of them, like, it's kind of hard here in Sweden to get hold of them.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like Madame Vestra and Jenny, their relationship with the Doctor should be more explored because, you know, they have been put in some pretty big episodes.
I mean, we still don't know how the Doctor met them.
No.
They told us, but we've never seen it. And when they say we've told us, it's like briefly like, oh yeah, she woke up and wanted to kill everyone, but I talked her out of it, and now we're friends.
Yeah. But, like, how did she and Jenny end up? Like,
exactly.
Can we get a spin-off with those three?
Yeah.
Like,
unit spin-off first. We've got the unit spin-off to do.
Oh, yeah. But, like, I want a spin-off with your Strax.
Strax going around killing people.
I love that.
Yeah, but Strax has two of the dumbest jokes I ever seen. And one of them flew over my head so quickly because I didn't realize the significance of it. Like, I love Strax because Strax is me when I've just woken up. He's as dumb as me when I step out of bed. Like, the whole memory worm gag in The Snowman. You know, when he's supposed to get the memory worm to apply on Clara, who's not called Clara then, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they go like, did you get it? Get what, sir? The memory worm. Ah, the memory worm. You forgot to put your gloves on. Like, that joke is so stupid and it's so funny at the same time because it's Strax. You know Strax is stupid. But then you have here I don't actually remember the name of the episode, but it's the Victorian, I think they're in Sheffield? The Perfect Society.
I know what you're talking about with the, what's his name? Mr. Sweets.
Yeah, Mr. Sweets, thank you. I can't remember the name of the episode right now. On top of my head, but in that he flags down this little boy who's going to give him directions. And the boy's name is Thomas. And the Thomas gives Strax direction, like, on the next turn left or something like that. And 2 years later, I'm in an electronics store, and I realize that, for God's sake, TomTom is a GPS system. And it's such a bad joke, yeah. But it works when you realize
that. That would have gone over a lot of people's heads.
Yeah, maybe someone is listening right now and be like, what, really?
Anyway, no. We went massively off topic.
No, we're still discussing companions, though.
Oh, yeah, I guess, yeah, Strax is, yeah, no, you're right, Strax is a companion, yeah, no, you're right.
He counts.
Little potato. Little potato.
No, but, like, we could probably fill, like, 2 hours of discussing companions, because, like...
Because there's a lot?
Oh, yeah, like... Just looking at the list, there are so many that, like, you know, deserves a mention, but we do not have time for them.
Okay, maybe just very quickly, who is your least favorite companion?
Mickey Smith, hands down.
Ugh, wow, Mickey. Okay, never mind, this isn't going to be quick. No, it's like, blasphemy.
Shell, who's yours?
Does Melanie count as a companion?
Yeah, she counts. Yeah.
It was yeah. Going way back, you know, into the forever ago.
I'm going a bit back as well. Mine's, I think, Penny is her name. I think the sixth Doctor's companion. I think her name was Penny, wasn't it? The American?
No, Perry.
Perry, that was it. Perry, yeah, her.
Yeah.
Also that name is terrible.
Yeah, Perry. Yeah, that was it, yeah.
What was, like, Perry was just a nickname. It was like Perpugillum or something like that. Her real name, because Perry was, you know, the nickname. She had a really complicated first name. It starts with the par or something. I can't remember what it is, but...
Which Doctor?
This is fifth and... Perry is fifth and sixth Doctor.
Oh, like Perpugillum?
Did you just Google that?
Yeah, I did. I had to Google it because I was like, what is it now? Perpugillum. But yeah, Perry.
She died, didn't she? She went bald and died.
Oh gosh!
She was shot by what was his name? Gordon's alive. What's?
Now we're going way back, people. This is many many years ago.
This is our timey wimey trip.
Brian Blessed, yeah, Brian Blessed kills Perry. That's it.
Spoiler alert. No, but I just need to say the reflection here for me is that both of you went for the Sixth Doctor's companions. You went for Perry and Melanie. Like,
is that also our least favorite Doctor?
Is it?
I mean, yeah, I
yeah.
I just didn't. It was the only person I just didn't really like his acting.
But one dimensional.
Yeah, it's just like, no.
But I don't want to talk smack about old doctors.
No.
That's quite funny because, you know, that's Colin Baker. And I mentioned in last episode as well, like, he's my least favorite doctor. Because the writing he got was, I think it was you, Callum, who said it, like, they have basically given up on the show. He didn't get that much to work with.
He's actually one of the few doctors I've met in real life.
Did you tell him that, like...
No, I didn't, because I hadn't actually watched him at this point.
Oh.
But, yeah, no, he didn't he didn't believe. So it was at like a Comic-Con, and we had to put like a bit of money in a charity thing in order to get a selfie with him. And he didn't believe that I put any money in.
Ooh.
I put a £5 note in there, but he didn't believe it.
I need to see this picture.
Yeah, I did get the picture eventually. I think he believed me eventually, but I felt really bad because I thought, oh, he doesn't believe I did it. Now he thinks I'm a dickhead.
Maybe he just wanted you to put another fiver in there.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. I think he shook the charity box to make sure I put it in or something.
But... he checked it. He's like, mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, yeah, here it is. All right, you can have a photo then. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to get this over with because now you've made me feel bad. I think I was like 10 years old or something. Anyway, no, but to be fair, I don't really blame him for being the worst. I think it is more on the writing.
His outfit, though.
Yeah, and I'm going to say, I loved Colin Baker in the Three Doctors webisode they did.
Yeah.
The anniversary, because there he was really, really funny.
Yeah.
But, okay, now we went...
And he's great in Big Finish. Again, he's Big Finish, he's really good in, so...
I will have to start looking more at the Big Finish productions, to be fair. Now we have gone off topic, though, because now we're discussing Doctors, and we were supposed to discuss Companions.
Yeah.
But, like, it's going to be interesting to see the new one. I'm not going to discuss the newest episode that much, but... of course, we need to mention that Ruby Sunday, Mila Gibson, made her debut. Yeah.
Wait. Am I saying it right?
In Swedish, it's debut, so it's a weird word for me to say. But it's going to be interesting to see during this season how Ruby Sunday turns out. Like, because I know there's been some controversy that she's really young, and I want to see what people think after like 3-4 episodes. Like, do we have a new Donna Noble or a new Rose Tyler on our hands? Or will we sit here and discuss another Melanie in the future? Because when those episodes comes out, of course, we're going to discuss them on the podcast. So we have until then to get Shell up to speed.
Binge watch
time.
Yeah, maybe if we start a Patreon, we can have like, if you're a Patreon, you can we can have a movie night on the Discord.
Oh, that'd be so fun!
Yeah,
invite all our friends.
For the listeners, we will come back if we start a Patreon. No, we have gone over our time limit, guys.
It was a discussion. Bye.
No, I'm gonna take over here and say that next time we actually have a topic for next time, and this one will not be as much about the Doctors and Companions. Callum, would you like to tell the audience what we're gonna discuss next time?
Oh, is it the writers?
Yeah, it's the writers of Doctor Who.
Yeah,
and we're probably gonna go into some like how we look at the writing as well, and writing done right and writing done very horribly wrong. There are many great examples over 60 years of Doctor Who where we can look at some really, really good writing. And yeah, I'm going to call it bad writing.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
and the medium one. The thing that is not bad or good.
Mediocre. Video Cray.
Cray? No. Oh, God, I can't stop thinking about the word we were using yesterday. I told you, no. Okay, so this is how it is to record a podcast with these two. They are siblings from different mothers. But that's everything we have for the episode, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
So the next episode comes out next Sunday. If you want to send us topics to discuss, or if you want to send us some feedback, we have a Facebook page now called Regeneration Radio, because we are modern and have a Facebook page.
Yes.
We also have an email, and I need to find that address. If you want to send us an email, it's regenerationradiopod@gmail.com. And since we're in three different time zones, don't expect a reply like within an hour, but we will reply within 24 hours at least.
At least.
So if you like listening to this show, send us some feedback. You can press the subscribe button on Spotify or Apple Pods or Podcast or wherever you listen to us. And hopefully we see you next week. Bye. Do you have anything more to say?
Just bye.
Bye.
Goodbye, everyone.